Welcome to On the Record with the Two Mikes. I'm Mike Graham. You're Mike Parry.
Yes.
Two a week, every Tuesday, every Thursday.
Yeah.
If you haven't got this podcast yet, by the way, and you've just stumbled upon it.
Yes.
There are several ways you can get it. You can get it through iTunes.
Yes.
You can get it through Spotify now, which is a new thing.
Yeah.
You can get it through Audio Boom. You can get it through various different podcast sort of platforms.
Absolutely. Like
Podbean, I think you can get it from Podcast Addict, loads and loads of places to get it. So just keep an eye out for it and look for us on Twitter.
Indeed.
On the Record.
Indeed. Anyway, listen, I want to tell you a few stories about MPs because, of course, it's very much in the vogue at the moment.
Oh, yes.
How long Brexit will go on for, who knows?
It's anybody's guess.
Could be for 10 years.
Could literally be
for 10 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, I do love these stories because when I was a young reporter on the Chester Chronicle.
Oh, yeah.
We used to go to the council meetings, which are the most boring things in the world, the Chester Town Hall.
I can imagine.
And you couldn't wait for them to finish, usually about 9 o'clock, and then get in the pub with the local councillors. Because the stories were never what happened in the council chamber.
Right.
The stories were always getting in the pub afterwards with the councillors and them tipping you the wink on what had really happened,
right.
And not the official papers. Mm. And so you used to spend a bit of money there and grease their palms. But a lot of them were drunks.
Yeah.
Because in those days, they didn't, councils weren't paid, but they could claim expenses.
Yes.
So they'd
keep, they had to turn up, presumably, to do that, right?
They had to turn up. But the thing is, they would take money from us and, you know, then go to the landlord and get a receipt for the drinks that they hadn't paid for and then claim them on their expenses.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of drunks about, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the few reasons for being a councillor in those days, right, was clearly you weren't going to get much money for it.
That's right,
but you could extract quite a fair amount, I imagine, of sort of corruption.
Yeah, of course.
Because you could walk into any pub in the fucking city, and go, I suppose you'd like to have your licence expanded again. A bit of chin wagging and rubbing.
How's the health and safety in the bathroom and all that kind of stuff.
They got free meals everywhere they went. Well, free drink.
You know, when a contractor for the council was building a new school or something, guess what? There's a bit of tarmac left over. We'll go and tarmac the mayor's driveway. You know what I mean?
All that. The perks of the job were unbelievable. Yeah.
But this is the one I really like. These are the stories I really like. Here, listen to this. And this is a direct newspaper report, okay? A town mayor accused of being drunk at the Remembrance Sunday event.
You all seem to find these stories.
I find them very funny. Is to be investigated, okay? David Farry allegedly arrived late, was stumbling and slurring about carrying the wreath, and was deemed unsafe to light the remembrance beacon in case he set fire to himself.
Jesus Christ. Which is probably a breathing whiskey all over everybody.
Yeah.
Is this the most recent sort of anniversary, 100th anniversary of the First World War?
Yes, exactly. You know, the 100th. This is the 100th centenary. Yeah.
I mean, it's quite an important occasion.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? So it goes on to say, ex-town councillor Brian Gibson, who was at another event, but lodged a complaint after talking to witnesses, said nobody or no man can ever have shown such a lack of respect for those who died.
That's a shocking
statement. Turned up completely pissed out of his face, you know?
Right.
Durham County Council launched its probe after receiving 3 complaints about the Ferry Hill Town Council Mayor and his, quotes, disgusting behaviour.
Mm.
Mr. Farry, the man accused, the mayor, said, these allegations are ridiculous. I wasn't even there in an official capacity.
All right. So he's not denying it then.
No. He said, when asked why then was he carrying a wreath,
he
said he was helping somebody out.
All right.
Durham County Council noted reports that he had left his chain of office in his car. But
what was he driving as well?
No, you get a chauffeur driven the mayor's limo and all that kind of stuff, you know. But what the witnesses are saying is they're saying, no, he didn't come in an unofficial capacity. Yeah. He was so pissed. He left all his regalia in the back of the car.
He came in the official car.
He came in the official car and staggered out. I mean, disgraceful behaviour.
That's a shocking story.
But I mean, it's not always good to be a local politician. So I've got another story about a mayor. How about this?
All right, then.
Right. A mayor in Mexico has been murdered moments after leaving his inauguration ceremony, and local drug dealers are suspected of being responsible.
I don't know why it's funny, though. Why is it funny?
Well, what's funny is that this bloke, you know, has pumped himself up and said, I'm going to be a public servant. You know? I'm going to be a public servant, you know. And he's probably, in all his election campaign, said, I'm going to clean this town up, you know what I mean? I'm going to clean this town up. So he goes to the ceremony where they give him the chain of office, you know what I mean? Right. And, you know, the bright, shining light for That's the future.
Yeah.
He walks out the door of the office and gets fucking blown away.
It's funny, actually. I'll tell you what, when I thought of you, and I was talking about this the other day on Too Much TV, I seen a story from Russia about a grandmother, right, 62 years old, from a place called Amur in Russia, right? She was at a party, apparently, a place called Vasilyevka, right? And she drank so much vodka that they thought she was dead, right? She'd actually passed out from the drink. 62 years of age, right? Now, it turns out that they didn't call the local cops because they're not sure what to do.
Right,
cops turn up. Cops say, yeah, you're quite right. She is definitely dead.
Yes.
So they declare her dead, right? They ship her off to the morgue.
Oh, golly.
Where she lies for several hours, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some bloke turns up in the morgue to tie a... you know, the sort of job you would hate to have. You don't like morgues.
Yes.
To tie the old, John Doe fucking...
Label on the toe. Yeah. Right?
And she suddenly wakes up.
God.
She's fucking alive.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So she's not dead at all.
It's always been my fear. You know, put me a coffin and all of a sudden I wake up and all I
see
is a dark
the
group.
Scraping of the, the nails on the inside of the coffin. Anyway, guess what, right? Yeah, so they say, right, we better get her to the hospital because clearly, you know, she's still alive and she's still showing vital signs.
Yes.
Put her in the back of the ambulance. Yeah. But she's been in the morgue for so long and it's so fucking cold there that she's now dying from hypothermia.
Good God.
And by the time we got her to the hospital, she was actually properly dead.
No. She died twice.
She died twice.
That's terrible.
Isn't that awful?
And she would have been in a state of... I've got this dictionary of Old English words, and the one I really like is crambazzled.
Crambazzled?
Crambazzled.
Oh, yeah.
A Yorkshire word meaning prematurely aging from huge excess of drinking.
Well...
Crambrazzled.
We should know a bit about that.
Yeah.
Now, according to the local police, they're now indulged in an investigation into how it's possible that she died. And here's a picture here of the guy who's the doctor, chief doctor at Belogorak Hospital, Mikhail Danilov. He doesn't look, he looks more like a criminal, doesn't he?
He looks like a criminal, yeah. But a lot of people in Russia look like criminals.
Do they?
Because of the Slavic nature of their bone structure and
is
their
that
face
right?
and all. I mean, for instance, you know, the Klitschko brothers.
Like a criminal?
No, the Klitschko brothers.
Well, they're
look
Ukrainian,
as they,
aren't they?
Sorry?
They're Ukrainian.
They're Ukrainian, but it's all Slavic, isn't it? And what I'm saying is that, you know, whilst I cast no aspersions whatsoever on the integrity of the Klitschko brothers.
Well, that's good.
They could have been.
They've got quite a lot of money. They might sue you.
Of course they would. You know, they had the looks to star in a film, a fictional film, about gang leaders. Don't they? You know, because they're those sort of guys. You
Well, yeah. I mean, Ukraine is a dangerous place.
Oh, very
by
dangerous
the way.
Place. Yeah.
I mean, they
yeah.
keep having football matches organised there, and
That's
then
right.
everyone gets surprised when they get told, actually, you might not be such a good idea.
That's right.
To go and play there.
Not sure I'll
so
do it after
play
all.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, here's a story I've got to tell you about.
Right. Okay.
Because you've covered a few royal stories. In
Certainly
your time.
Have, mate.
What do you make of all of these people who are now leaving quite suddenly the employ? Of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, i.e. Harry and Meghan, right?
Yeah.
Apparently the bodyguard is the latest person to exit out through the door, right?
Well,
now, this was a story that was around a week or so ago, right?
Yeah.
Female police officer was appointed to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex as chief bodyguard.
Yes.
It was hailed as a groundbreaking move.
Yes.
Less than a year later, she's stepping down.
Yeah,
she's now, an inspector at Scotland Yard.
I had a look at that, but if you read the story thoroughly, as I'm sure you have, I think one or two of our colleagues in Fleet Street might have been a little bit, what can I say, a little bit adventurous.
Are
with,
you saying they're over-egging the pudding?
Well, all I'm saying is, if you read it and get
it's
to the bottom of the story,
say
it says she's not requested to step down as bodyguard to the Duchess, to Meghan. She's actually leaving the police force. She's leaving the Met and leaving the police service.
Yeah, well, that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, but I mean, would you really...
What are you saying, that she's not leaving because she doesn't enjoy the job? I mean, wouldn't you say that?
I would say that she's made a career decision, but if she was so fed up with looking after Meghan that she couldn't stand it anymore, she could go to the police commissioner, who is a woman herself, what's her name, Cressida Dix, right, and say, look, Mom, Cressida Dick.
Dick.
She's Dick.
Dick. No, not a Dick. No, her name is Dick.
That's what I mean. It's like I'm say you're a Graham. You see what I mean? She's
she's
Dick.
She's not Dick.
I'm a Parry. You know what I mean?
You are a Parry,
And she could have said to her, look, Mom, it's a very stressful job and all. I've done it for a year now. You know, I have no problems with it, but I'd like to return to more regular duties.
Sorry, have you suddenly turned into some kind of bloke that knocks every story?
No.
I mean, normally speaking.
What story was I knocking?
Well, you're knocking this story. Excuse me. When you were in the realms of Fleet Street, when you were the head honcho, the news supremo, as you like to call yourself.
Yes.
I can't imagine you knocking a story like
no.
that.
I've never
I can't
story.
Imagine
no.
that you would no. not have jumped on it with both hands and gone, that's a fucking splash.
That's right.
Let's go with that then.
That's right.
You wouldn't be going, ooh, I think you'll find that maybe she's leaving, she's made a career decision. Mm. All of which would be fine if it wasn't for the fact that every single other person practically that's worked for these two has also buggered off.
You know, you know
her decision to quit, listen to this, follows the departure of the Duchess's personal assistant, Melissa Tuapti, who left the palace last year after 6 months in a job.
Right.
Right? That follows another departure, the private secretary, Samantha Cohen, who's set to leave as planned later this year.
Yeah.
She previously worked at Buckingham Palace as the Queen's private assistant, but then when she went to work for Prince Harry, suddenly now she's leaving.
Yeah, so
you're all leaving.
You're saying Meghan's an ogre, are you?
I'm
she's driving people away.
I'm saying there's definitely evidence to suggest that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know enough about it.
I think that's a bit of a cruel slur on a young lady who's trying to make her way in life, you know what I mean?
Well, hang on. Look at the history of Meghan Markle, right?
Yep.
Meghan Markle is someone a bit like you who's reinvented herself whenever she's needed to do so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she became this kind of, you know, Hollywood starlet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
She's now becoming the kind of Angelina Jolie of London.
Right.
Where
is she?
She's going, well, she's going to have charities.
Okay.
She's going to go and help, you know, the underprivileged in Africa.
Yes.
She's going to go and open, you know, homeless shelters.
Right. Okay.
A la Princess
Diana. Well, that's all
good
stuff, isn't it? That's a good thing. Yeah, why are you knocking the poor girl?
Well, because she's not the poor girl. Yes. She's the princess, right?
Yes.
Who happens to have. Of snared one of the most eligible men in the world,
really,
who is Prince Harry.
Yeah, oh, you know, right, okay, you say
son
that.
Of Prince Charles, heir to the throne.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder she's having a great time. But it does seem as though she's having.
Yeah,
quite
but you're
a lot
making out that she, you know, she's a minx and she's
not so.
She's difficult to deal
well,
with.
Well, all I'm
and,
saying
hey?
Is, all I'm
it
saying
seems a bit unkind. That to me.
All I'm saying is that it seems quite difficult for people who work for her to stay around for very long.
Stay around for very long. Okay, you
and
say
we
that.
Have heard stories from our colleagues who work in this world who do. You know, royal stories for a living.
Oh, yeah.
Who have said that, you know, it's very clear that at Kensington Palace, all is not well.
Yes. When you said I'm knocking stories down, I always used to improve stories, of course, in my own inimitable way.
Well,
and
improving
that's
them is one thing.
But, you know,
as long as you're not over-egging the pudding.
But computers were the end of some of that, because what used to happen is when it was typed copy, right, what you could always do is you could always insert a line written by hand to improve the story.
What, you mean just add something in that wasn't true?
No, I didn't say that.
That's
said
what you meant,
put
then.
A line in to improve the story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to...
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I remember one time there was a story about a missing girl, you know, and it started then, you know, she's missing, murder, you know, she'd been murdered, she'd been murdered by a boyfriend, you know, she'd been kidnapped and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And the one missing element was the fact that the police weren't taking it seriously. And so I said to, you know, the person who'd written it, I said, well, you know, what do the police say? Well, you know, they don't want to make an official quote, but, you know, I can tell you, you know, I know, you know, this is a crime reporter, you know. I can tell you that, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, they're concerned. They just don't want to make it public they're concerned because they want to catch the killer, you know, not alert him.
Right.
I said, so what are you saying? So they don't want the story to get out yet? Yeah, it's that sort of thing. I said, well, bollocks to that. I said, the police, you're telling me the police are concerned.
So you didn't think that you were in any way jeopardising the police inquiry?
Not at all.
Why not?
So I got his story and I said, right, tell you what we'll do then. So I inserted a quote from a policeman, you know, we are, but I used a very old-fashioned word, we are something concerned about the welfare of the name, you know, and, you know...
This is attributed to whom?
Well, this is the point. A police source.
Oh, yeah.
And a major police investigation is underway. Mm. A source told the Daily Express last night,
right.
Okay. Yeah, what was the word I used? It was something like...
gravely concerned?
Gravely. I think it was gravely. Well done, yeah. We are gravely concerned about the whereabouts. And a major police operation has been launched.
Shocking.
Next day, Scotland Yard on the phone, you know, this is outrageous, you know, we don't even think this girl is missing. We think she went off with a bloke from a nightclub and all this kind of stuff, you know, because somebody was trying to build up a story about it being a repeat killing. You know, was there a, like a strangler around in London?
Like a sort of serial killer.
Yeah, serial killer, that kind of stuff.
Well, you were trying to frighten the nation, were you?
No, I took the word of the crime reporter concerned, who I won't name for professional, reputational reasons. No, he's probably dead, actually, but he was no fucking good in those days anyway, so in the end we got rid of him. He was drunk all the time. He was always down the Harrow, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning, where they used to call it morning prayers. All the crime reporters used to meet in the Harrow, just off Fleet Street, 11 o'clock every morning. They'd have a glass of water to rinse out the excesses of yesterday first, and then the first glass of champagne of the day, okay? And he was pissed when he told me, you know, because he hadn't had a story in the paper for about 6 weeks. He was always pissed. And strange
Most of those guys were better than that, weren't they? Because they could drink all the time. But they would always make sure they filed stories and got in the paper.
Yeah,
he must have totally lost the plot.
He'd gone into his 60s by this time. I think he'd lost it. And so, you know, I had a dreadful... But the best thing was, because in those days, as I say, you could write it in, I never admitted to being the person who wrote it in. I said, it's disgraceful.
Do you know
I'll start
how,
the inquiry.
The fake Sheikh got caught. Because the fake Sheikh used to work on the Sunday Times.
Yes.
And the fake Sheikh did a story in the Sunday Times. And I can't remember what happened exactly or what the story was about. But his name was Mazia Mahmoud.
Yeah, Mazia Mahmoud. Yeah, I know
and
him.
He was
a
news reporter for the Sunday Times, did it under his own name before he got rehabilitated at the News of the World.
Yeah.
And he came in, it was when they'd moved to Wapping.
Yeah.
And I remember because it was the time I was around working for New York, I think. And he'd written a story and there was a legal problem with it.
Right.
And so the story had been published on the Sunday. He went into the office on the Sunday afternoon and he went into his computer, opened up the story which was in the you know, the various baskets through all the way through to publication.
Yes.
Changed the story.
Right.
Right. And then left. To make out that his original had been changed, basically, before it went in the paper.
Yeah.
And, of course, like a plank, he didn't realise that...
All these things are traceable in a computer.
Every computer system now, you have a footprint.
Mm.
So they could see that he'd come in.
Yeah.
They could see that he'd used his key card to get into the office.
Yeah.
They could see that he'd sat down at his desk.
That's right.
They could see that he'd switched on his computer. They could see when he switched it on.
Yeah.
They could see when he logged on.
It was probably CCTV as well.
Yeah. They could see exactly which basket.
Yeah.
And it was in the days when Roy Greenslade, I think, was head of news.
Right.
And they fired him straight away. Just went, you're out.
Yeah.
And it took a little while before he was rehabilitated.
Yes, that's right.
Into the News of the World,
and then he got
where he
really
then did the fake shake business
and stitched a lot of people up in the
stitched
process.
A lot of people up, but in the end, ended up going down himself. I think, didn't he?
He did
the,
go down himself. Yeah,
was it the Posh and Beck's kidnapping?
It was Posh and Beck kidnap thing where he actually got done in the end.
Well, it sounded like he'd organised the
allegedly because I'm not terribly sure on facts, but somebody definitely went down for enticing people to try and kidnap the Beckham's children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. But anyway, there you are.
Funnily enough, talking about that,
yes,
we were talking about Terry Manners in an earlier podcast.
Yes, we were, yes.
The man who was the night editor. One of the, my first jobs when I was back from America.
Right.
I was sitting there late and I'd written The Splash. I can't remember what it was about. But Manners basically... went back to the news desk and said, and it was to somebody like Terry Chinnery.
Yes.
News desk.
News desk. Terry Chinnery.
I mean, Terry, lovely guy.
Yeah.
But not exactly what you might call...
Oh, thick as a plank.
Well, he wasn't that thick.
He was. He was an East End boy
who
basically should have actually taken a job as a sort of, you know, a barge captain on the...
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure he won't mind. I mean, he's quite old now.
And then there was Jack Lee.
I saved his brother's life.
Do you remember Jack Lee?
Yeah, poor old Jack.
Jack Lee. No, but Jack was a bit of a dark horse. Jack Lee, in fact, left his wife, did he not?
Yeah.
For one of the telephonist types.
Did he?
Who worked in the Express, yeah.
Really?
I'm
sure
he did, yeah.
Because he was a big bear of a man, wasn't
he was.
Jack? A very nice boy.
Very nice fellow, talk like that.
Mm.
But he was banished for all time, I think it might have been after you left, to the night news desk.
Yes,
do you know
he
why?
Was. No.
Because he went to... there was some fucking story or other about a public school, right? And he had to go and fucking try and find out what was going on.
Yes.
And there was some form of jiggery-pokery or criminal activity or something going on. It was a secondary school.
Mm.
And he had to go and try and find out what was going on. But like an idiot, right? He went and fucking hid in the bushes and started taking pictures and fucking, you know, trying to get the boys to talk to him.
Yeah.
Turns out the editor's son was an attendee at the school.
It was that Millhill.
I don't know. I might have been.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, not Mill Hill. Millfield down Millfield, in Somerset.
It was,
yeah.
It's definitely the editor's son's school.
Right.
And of course, the headmaster rings Nick Lloyd and says, "What the fuck are you doing?"
That's right. Yeah.
You know, why is this bloke working for you?
Please, can you stop this?
Hanging around my school.
Poor old Jack.
He was banished to the Night News Desk.
A big bear of a man, and not terribly good looking. Well, I'm sure he'd admit that himself.
He did all right.
Came from Croydon. He also did all right because he died in his villa in Spain, which nobody knew he had.
I went to his funeral.
Is that in Croydon?
I think it was.
Yeah, it was in Croydon,
One of the only funerals I've actually ever been to. I haven't been to that many.
I might have gone there with you. I had a white Mercedes in those days, and I thought I gave you a lift back from somebody's funeral. Was that Jack's? It was a crematorium.
Maybe. Yeah.
Crematorium.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you did. Yeah.
But anyway, what I was going to say is he was a terribly nice guy, very reliable, very good reporter.
Mm. Very thorough.
He was the guy who rang me one evening at about...
Is this when you were news editor?
I was a news editor, yeah. Rang me about 9 o'clock one evening to tell me that Freddie Mercury had just died.
Oh, really?
And what happened was, it was quite amazing. You know, Freddie Mercury had this huge house in Kensington.
Yes. Which was behind a big wall, wasn't it?
Behind a big wall, and it's owned now by his lifelong companion, Mary, who's made £40 million in royalties from the film, by the
really?
Way. Yeah.
Did he leave all that to her in his will, then?
He left everything to her in his will, including all future profit proceeds of the Freddie Mercury...
I still haven't seen that film. I don't want to.
Of the Freddie Mercury estate, right. But what happened was, the window to Freddie Mercury's bedroom was open.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got home for the day, because it was about 9 o'clock, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, Jack was aware of some terrible panic, and he heard this cracking noise. And the cracking noise, believe it or not, was Freddie Mercury falling out of bed and breaking a number of bones.
Oh, God.
Because he was so thin.
Right.
Because he had AIDS and nobody had seen him for weeks, if not months. He fell out of bed and broke all his bones. And do you know when a bone cracks, you can often hear it a long way away. My dad used to say...
You know, I've heard that about football.
Exactly. My dad used to say when Derek Dooley broke his leg, which led to him having his leg off, he was a player in those days for Sheffield Wednesday, you could hear the crack of the bone all around the ground.
Oui.
Yeah. So that's a strange story. Yeah.
Well, the reason I was telling you about Jack Lee and old Terry Chimney was because I could see what was going on. I was sitting over to the left where the reporters were, and I could see Manners sort of being animated conversation because he had quite a few glasses of wine by now.
Yeah,
and obviously he was telling Terry, you know, that he wanted me to write something into the story. Terry came over to me and said, "Oh, yeah, Terry wants you to write this into the story." I said, "I'm not doing it." And he went, "Well, what do you mean you're not doing it?"
Well, who was Chinnery to act as messenger between Terry, Manners and you?
Well, I was a reporter, though.
Oh, you're a reporter, you know, I see. Sorry,
so technically he was right to do that.
Yes.
And I said to Terry, what am I going to tell him? I said, "Well, you tell him I'm not fucking doing it."
What did he want you to write in? Something you didn't,
something
you could not substantiate?
True. He wanted me to write a line into the story, basically, that wasn't true.
Yes, I see.
So Chinnery went back and told him. And I was relatively a new boy then.
Yeah,
Terry didn't really, Manners didn't really know anything about me.
Yeah.
And he suddenly went into a fucking rage. He came over to me. He said, "Who fucking think you're dealing with? I'm the night editor here. Yeah. I'm the most senior person in this building.
Yes.
I'm telling you to write this in. You're going to fucking write it in." I said, "I don't give a fuck who you are."
Yeah.
I said, "I'm not doing it. You want to write it in, you fucking write it in."
Yeah, you write it in. It's your idea, not mine.
I said, "I'm not writing something in my story which isn't true. And you can fuck off."
That's and a very very aggressive thing to say to a night editor.
Well, I didn't know any better.
No,
because I
come
from New York, where you know as well as I do. I just worked on my own.
Yeah, that's right,
I didn't fucking answer to anybody, and I didn't have any fear of talking to my so-called superiors.
No, no.
And I think he was so taken aback that he just walked off.
Right.
And that was the end of that.
That was the end of that,
Very exciting.
Now, there's another phenomenon here I need to talk to you about, what we see in the workplace these days, and in society and life in general, is that... the workplace now has to reflect the diversity and certainly the ethnic pattern of society.
Yes.
You agree?
Indeed.
Indeed, we all agree.
It does, although funnily enough, I got a text the other day from a mate of mine
who was
looking at an advert for The Observer where they'd listed all their columnists, including our good mate Jay Rayner.
Yes.
Right? And every single one of them was white.
Right.
And this is The Observer.
The Observer,
there are no black columnists.
No.
Only about two or three women.
Yeah.
Certainly no ethnic minority columnists whatsoever.
Okay.
And so I thought, and he was making the point, this is what The Observer's doing.
Yes.
What hope is there for anybody else?
Exactly. Totally agree. So anyway, what's happened is, in addition now to LGBT, which we know about, black and minority ethnicity, disabled issues, you know, for people to be included in the workplace.
Yes.
There's a new minority group which soon everybody who runs a business is going to have to include. And that is, for want of a better word, stupid people. Yeah.
What, is that now a minority?
It has now been...
Tragically, looking around, I think it's a fucking majority.
Stupid people now have to be given jobs in areas that they're not capable of doing.
Well, and some people have been doing that for a while.
I agree. We all know it's been going on, but it's now going to be official policy. Okay? And this is called, believe it or not, there's a name for it, educationalists are calling it neurodiversity.
Neurodiversity. Do you know, I've heard this phrase.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it used by somebody.
Yeah.
What was it? I think it was some row I was having on Twitter with somebody.
Yeah.
And they described themselves as neurodiverse.
Neurodiverse.
I don't know what it meant.
That's thick.
Well, I don't think that was their intention to call it that.
But that's what it
Isn't
is.
Isn't it differently abled or something?
No. Neurodiversity now. So employers will be urged to adapt their practices to accommodate members of a group of workers who include those who have things like, you know, deficit hyperactivity disorder,
yes,
dyslexia and autism, which we all agree with.
Yeah.
But on top of that...
See, I think that's very how I've heard the term, neurodiverse.
Yeah. No, but it
includes...
Well, you
wouldn't describe those people as stupid.
Of course not. But it includes actual people who are so stupid that they can't be given a job because
like
they're
IQ
too thick.
Thing?
It's like an IQ thing.
So
people who are too thick to do a job, right, so nobody employs them because they're just a divvy, you know what I mean, for want of a better
I
word.
I think you've been a bit harsh, to be honest.
No, you've got
There's plenty of well-educated people who are too stupid to do jobs as well.
Well, in future, you know, like when somebody clearly doesn't get the drift of what you're trying to tell them. And, you know, and I'm talking about... You know, you take something back to a shop, okay?
Yeah.
And there's some stupid person behind the counter and you're trying to explain why the set of taps you've just worked don't work because there's no washer in the middle that should be.
Right.
And you'd like them to be replaced with a set of taps with a washer.
Yeah.
And the person's looking at you like you're talking Chinese or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they're the sort of stupid people who will in future have to be singled out. And there must be positive discrimination for the stupid to be included in the workforce, okay?
Yes. I think the problem is here
that
I'm happy that they're going to start recognising that some people are stupid.
Yes.
However,
yes.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it? Because, you know, you have to be very careful.
Yes.
You can't go around calling people stupid.
No.
Because they'll probably sue you.
No, but shouldn't stupid people be catered for in areas like labouring or something like that that does not involve a lot of deep thinking or the ability to address and resolve problems?
Well, not everybody can do labouring, can they? Because it's quite hard, it's quite a physically demanding.
Well, as long as you're able-bodied, you can do it.
Well, yeah, but it's outdoors. It's not particularly...
Well, what's wrong with going outdoors?
Well, you don't see you doing it.
What do you mean?
I don't see you
I've had outdoor jobs.
Like what?
I had an outdoor job once where... As a student, I had to run up and down cornfields with a red flag to guide the helicopter that was spraying the crops.
That's probably why you've got brain fog.
Well, I used to get sprayed myself.
Inhaling the fucking...
I did. I used to get sprayed...
The Agent Orange or whatever they were using.
Yeah. I used to get sprayed with chemicals and all that kind of stuff, okay?
Why did you have to run up and down with a flag?
Because the guy who was flying the helicopter had two booms, one either side, and what you had to do is you had to measure... which area he'd sprayed, and then he goes over the field, then the helicopter goes up, banks, turns, and comes back. And you had to run exactly the number of paces that
wouldn't he be using a proper plane, though? Because surely a helicopter...
No, it's a helicopter.
But the helicopter, surely the rotor blade would displace all the...
Not at all. The spray came out from below the helicopter on two booms.
Yeah, I know, but there's still a load of air coming out of the helicopter.
Well, I can't explain that. I can only tell you that that's the job I had to do, you know. And it was quite good because you used to get ferried from place to place in the chopper, you know.
Yeah, but that's not like working and carrying a hod or putting up a wall or,
climbing up anybody can do that. Anybody who's able-bodied
could be
a hod carrier.
For example, I'm not very good at practical things, right? I'm not any good at DIY.
Yeah, but hod carrying is not practical. I'm not good at DIY.
No, but if you said to me, build a fucking wall, right, I wouldn't be able to do it.
They could go to Canada and be lumberjacks, for instance, you know what I mean, or something like that.
Well, that's a very skilled job as well.
Well, it's quite skilled.
My father used to talk about the idiot sons of the gentry, who he regarded as absolutely below
lowest. Well, you put them either in the church or the army.
Well, he said you put them in the civil service.
The civil service.
You send them and go work in India for a few years.
Or Africa.
Somewhere, and get rid of them. But now they don't do that anymore, so he said now the trouble is they're all working here.
But
he used to have a real problem with stupid people.
But I've got some sympathy with this. Because if you are stupid and poor, who's going to give you a job? Nobody.
Well,
At you see? So I would help out. I would help out.
What do you mean? Are you looking to employ some stupid people?
I have employed stupid people in the past because I felt sorry for them.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true.
You're responsible for hiring a lot of stupid people, actually.
No, not really.
When you were formerly head of Talk Sport.
No, not at all.
Yes,
I have sometimes employed stupid people out of a sense of kindness.
Really?
And, you know, almost like, well, I know this person won't get a job anywhere else, so I'll employ them. And we had one chap once who wasn't stupid, but he was blind, right? Well, he wasn't actually blind. He had, what do you call it, visual impairments.
Visual impairments.
Quite serious visual impairments.
And did he have styes or something?
No, nobody quite Cat knows. Rats. Nobody quite knows. But he had a blind dog.
Dog?
No. He had a dog for the blind, if you see what I mean.
A guide dog.
And
not a guide horse. But you see those people with a guide horse?
Yeah, I've seen that.
There's a bloke with a guide horse. He takes him into Tesco's.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't allow a horse to come into Tesco's.
That's ridiculous.
It's disgusting. Where there's food and a horse. Yeah. You know what horses behave like. It's disgraceful. Yeah. It's disgusting.
I know.
But no, this guy, always been a bit of a question mark as to how impaired his sight was. For instance, on one occasion, I came out of the front door of Talk Sport, and this particular person was on the square of green that we have opposite, next to the five-a-side football court. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I came out, and he was on the phone, and I waved. And he waved back.
Mm.
This is the blind person. Well, unless his arm suddenly went up, you know, for some unknown reason, like that footballer who's given the excuse for the old Hitler salute, which wasn't, you know,
he says it wasn't.
What a load
of bollocks that was.
Well,
not only did he have his arm up, but he had his finger across the top of his upper lip, like a moustache.
No, the excuse was that I was waving at my mate to take the picture, and I cut my hand around my mouth and shouted, hurry up!
What a load of rubbish.
To try and expand my voice to get him to do it.
Absolute cobbles.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the blind bit. Now, he wasn't stupid. He was very clever, and I had enormous admiration for the guy, because in being visually impaired, he was still able to do a job.
Yes.
He had machines that, you know, related sounds to letters and all this kind of stuff, and he was very able, and he used to book guests and could use a telephone and all that. But at the end of the day, it just became impossible to mould him properly into a fast-moving workplace like a 24-hour radio station.
Well, but I mean, we've all had guys. I mean, we had a guy once when I worked in the Mirror in Wales.
Yes.
We used to have this revolving sort of door policy for people that were signed up as graduate trainees.
Oh, really?
And one year we got some very good ones, but it wasn't always like that. There was one particular guy whose name I used to know, but I'm not going to name him. Probably no point in naming him.
Yes.
He ended up going off to work for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, as a press officer, right?
Good God. But he was lots of people work as press officers who are stupid.
But he was a useless fucking reporter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He came down to work with us, and he worked with Don Mackay was the news editor.
Good old Don.
And there was a crash, one of these, you know, road traffic accidents, an RTA, as we call it.
Yeah,
right?
That's right, yeah.
But it involved, I think, one of the children or... It might have been the man himself, one of the famous rugby players, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
from
yeah.
Wales. And they were the big personalities
down
there, you know.
Right, of course,
It wasn't Jonathan Davis. It was somebody like that.
Yeah, or Barry John or somebody.
Or somebody. It wasn't Barry John. They didn't allow him anywhere near a car.
That's true.
It was a crash, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mackay sends this kid.
Yeah.
He says, go down to, it was somewhere near Llanelli or somewhere, you know.
He says,
go down there, see what you can pick up.
Yeah.
Do you know what he fucking did?
No.
He came back with wreckage from the car.
What?
He fucking came back with a wiper, a bit of a light.
Well, because Don had said what you can pick up.
He said,
and he
go
took
down
it
there and see what you can pick up and come back.
Yeah.
He came back.
No, that sounds, and he put that sounds almost impossible
no,
to believe.
No, I was there. I was there when he came back. He put the stuff down on the table.
Yeah.
And Don said, what the fuck's that?
Yeah.
He said, he told me to pick up what I could. He said, I've got the wipers here, and here's the light from one of the cars.
Good God.
And it was a fatal accident, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, you can't fucking bring that here. You need the police need that.
Exactly.
He said, well, I thought you wanted me. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
And so clearly this was a guy who, you would, no matter what you were going to tell him or teach him, he would never be any good as a reporter.
No.
Because if that's his instinct, you just think, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
A total moron.
Total moron. Listen, one more story before we go, right?
Yes, because we're nearly out of time.
Nearly out of time. Again, I wonder how big the universe is. And
well, it's infinite, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And is the universe the border of what we live in, or is it the galaxy? Do you know the difference? What? Do you know the difference between the universe
and the
galaxy?
Well, we're in one galaxy,
right,
which is smaller than the universe.
Right.
Right. So there are many galaxies in the universe.
Okay, how many?
So the universe is bigger. Well, we don't know.
Billions, we think.
Well, we could be, yeah.
But listen to this.
I mean, it's infinitesimal. So therefore, for example, if you said to me, how big is the universe?
Yeah.
I'd have to say, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Because listen to this. Mm. Mysterious radio signals have reached Earth from a galaxy. So which is the bigger, galaxy or universe?
Universe is bigger.
Right, from a galaxy.
Far, far away.
Well, so far away that you can't comprehend it. The galaxy that the signal has come from is 1.5 billion light years away. Now, that is light travelling at the speed it travels for 1.5 billion years.
That's quite a long time.
And quite a long way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, not really, no.
Nobody can imagine it.
No.
I mean, 100 years.
So presumably, if you're hearing a radio signal.
Yes.
It was actually recorded, or whatever it was.
Yes.
Millions of years ago. Because if we're just getting it now, right?
No, it must be billions of years ago.
It could be billions.
Yeah. Because 1.5 billion light years away means light travelling at the speed that light travels for 1.5 billion years. Mm. It's infinitesimable.
Yes.
I mean, I can't get it.
Infinitesimable.
Yeah. The fast radio burst.
I thought you didn't care less about space.
But I mean, I just can't get my head around the vastness of space.
No.
I used to worry as a kid, right, about dying.
Did you?
Why? Well, not...
Well, as a child.
No, I didn't worry about dying. What I used to worry about was when I get older...
I thought you just worried about not having any money.
Well, I've always worried about that, yeah. But I used to worry about when I get older and I'm an adult and I die, will there be any space left in heaven? Because lots of people seem to die all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the old woman across the road, I saw the hearse pull up the other day. Uh-huh. She's died. I used to say to my mum, will there be any room in heaven when I die?
That's quite sweet, really.
Is it? Really? Yeah.
Don't worry, you're not going to heaven. You're going to fucking hell.
No, I'm not going to hell. I've looked after a lot of people on this earth. I'm going to heaven. So anyway, I've always worried about when it's going to fill up. What happens when you get there?
Well,
when you get
through? It's not really finite, is it? Heaven?
But if heaven is in the heavens themselves, there's an awful lot of room in the heavens. If somebody's been trying to message Earth and it's been travelling through space for 1.5 billion years... Well, then it's just the fast radio bursts last only a millisecond, but they produce as much energy as the sun pumps out in a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So when they get this...
Well, surely they should be using this as some kind of source of power then, shouldn't they?
Well, you can't use it as power because you can't convert it into power.
Well, you should be able to.
Well, I'd have thought so.
To learn how to do that.
It says some boffins think they could be from an advanced alien life form. Yeah, advanced lady in iPhone, 1.5 billion.
That sounds
some
like
boffins.
I've just written this in to make it sound better. The news editor says, well, never mind that shit. Have you got any aliens in the story?
Yeah, some boffins.
Yeah, some boffins.
Up there, yes.
You know, a source in the science industry said last night, it could be an alien life form.
A source down in the Popinjay bar after his six pints said, we think it's aliens. That's brilliant, yeah. But yeah, just to finish this off, But Canadian researchers who have now detected the mini-second bleep 13 times say they could also be from an exploding star or a supermassive black hole. So the fucking aliens might not be responsible after all.
This has been written by one of your proteges, clearly. Yeah. Fuck's sake. Yeah. Anyway, we're out of time.
Yeah.
This has been the Two Mics. This is On the Record. Another one coming up soon.
We are something concerned about the welfare of the name, you know, and, you know, a major...
attributed to whom?
Well, this is the point, a police source.
Oh, yeah.
And a major police investigation is underway. A source told the Daily Express last night,
okay?
Yeah, what was the word I used? It was something like...
gravely concerned?
Gravely. I think it was gravely. Well done, yeah. We are gravely concerned about the whereabouts. And a major police operation has been launched. Next day, Scotland Yard on the phone, you know, this is outrageous, you know, we don't even think this girl is missing. We think she went off with a bloke from a nightclub and all this kind of stuff, you know, because somebody was trying to build up a story about it being a repeat killing. You know, was there a strangler around in London?
Like a serial killer?
Yeah, serial killer, that kind of stuff.
Well, you were trying to frighten the nation, were you?
No. I took the word of the crime reporter concerned, who I won't name for professional reputational reasons. No, he's probably dead actually, but he was never fucking good in those days anyway, so in the end we got rid of him. He was drunk all the time.
He wanted me to write a line into the story, basically, that wasn't true.
Yes, I see.
So Chinnery went back and told him, and I was relatively a new boy.
Terry
didn't really manage to know anything about me.
Yeah.
And he suddenly went into a fucking rage. He came over to me and said, who the fucking think you're dealing with? I'm the night editor here. Yeah. I'm the most senior person in this building.
Yes.
I'm telling you to write this in. You're going to fucking write it in. I said, I don't give a fuck who you are.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You want to write it in, you fucking write it in.
Yeah, you write it in. It's your idea, not mine.
I said, I'm not writing something in my story which isn't true. You can fuck off.
Mm. Will there be any room in heaven when I die?
It's quite sweet, really.
Is it, really? Yeah.
Don't worry, you're not going to heaven. You're going to fucking hell.
No, I'm not going.